Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. My name is Mike. I'm the pastor here, and I want you to know that God loves you. Life is loaded with uncertainty, isn't it? Uncertainty takes shape in so many different forms. Yesterday, I lost my voice. I didn't anticipate that. I wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary, but I lost my voice, and so I woke up this morning. I didn't know if I'd have a voice to share with you today, but praise God, he's given me that. We make our plans. The Lord determines our steps. Uncertainty. You guys probably don't have to think too hard to think about how uncertainty plays a role in your life. There's probably a lot that you may feel uncertain about. And it can shake us very easily, can't it? The question, though, is not if uncertainty comes. The question is, what are you going to do with that? What do you do with uncertainty in your life? Often, it's very easy for anxiety to creep in. Anxiety can take hold of us. It can enslave us. It can capture our hearts and our minds. It can affect our bodies. It can affect the way we live our lives, our decision-making. You might wrestle with feelings of being misunderstood, feeling not cared for. You might feel threatened. You might feel like you're desiring care in a certain way and you're not getting it. Uncertainty can cause us to worry our lives away. And the truth is, we struggle to trust God when life feels uncertain. For some of us, that's the last one we turn to. But God's design is that he'd be the first one we turn to in the midst of uncertainty. But the fact is, we struggle to trust God when life feels unfair, when it feels out of our control, when life just heaps on and overwhelms us. We feel tempted to trust ourselves rather than God, who already knows us, holds us, and leads us. The message of Psalm 139 is God's invitation to walk through your life with you, holding your hand through the uncertainty, through the feelings of being out of control. You can trust God because he knows you completely. He will never leave you, and he designed you and made you. This is the abiding grace of the gospel, that God holds you through the hard things of life. Psalm 139 was written by David. David had experienced pain and hurt from others. He feels that the wicked have spoken maliciously against God, and he believes those who hate God are actually pressing in on him. They're pursuing him. And so in the midst of this hostility, David, he speaks words of trust about God in Psalm 139. So if you have a Bible, please open up to Psalm 139 and look at these words with me. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, there's a lot we could talk about Psalm 139 today. But for clarity's sake, let me give you the main idea of the text. Since God knows you better than you know yourself, trust him. Trust him with every part of your life. All of it. Most of us in the room would say that we're probably okay giving God parts of our lives and trusting him with aspects of our lives. Many of us in the room have done that. But I bet for all of us, there's parts of our lives that we haven't yet surrendered to the Lord. That he's asking us today to submit to him, to trust him. That's why we're looking at this psalm today. Since God knows you better than you know yourself, and he does, trust him with every part of your life. After reading these 24 verses, it's very obvious that David trusted God, yet his trust is rooted in God's sovereignty and God's goodness, God's certainty in the midst of our uncertainty. And so today, we'll see from the text four reasons to trust God in the midst of certainty and those feelings of being out of control. And the first one we're going to look at today is trust God because he knows you. Trust God because he knows you. It's true, God, he does know you, and he knows you completely. He knows you fully well. Verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows you. He knows what you're going through, and he combs through every detail of your life. The text goes on to describe how God knows you. You know when I sit and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, you behold, O Lord, you know it all together. I wonder if you've ever been on an airplane when the turbulence got bad. Many of us have probably experienced that. Most of us don't know much about flying. I know some in the room do. But for most of us, we don't know what the instruments mean. We don't know what air traffic control is saying over the radio, and we can't see what the pilot sees. And all of a sudden, the plane, it starts shaking, and so many people, they grab onto the armrests. They may look out the window to see what's going on. They may close their eyes, start to pray. Why? Because we're reminded that we're not in control. Yet the calmest person in the plane is often the pilot. Not because the pilot controls the weather, but because he understands what we don't understand. He sees what we can't see. Friends, life often feels like turbulence in an airplane. Often it comes and it happens to us, and it shakes us, and we don't know what's going on, and we can't see. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know why God allows certain hardships in our lives. We don't know how the circumstances in our lives are going to work out. But Psalm 139 reminds us that we're not in control. But here's what it also reminds us, that God is in control. God is in control. God not only knows you completely, He knows everything about you. He knows everything happening to you and around you this very instant and the next and the next and the next. And so verses 1 through 6, in these verses, David's saying, can you believe that my God knows me this well? Knowing that God knows him leads David to worship as he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You see, God knows David personally. He knows you personally. He understands why you do what you do. In fact, he knows what you're going to do before you do it. And he not only knows it, but he actually leads you. He leads you down the path that you should go as you listen to his voice. He knows the words before we speak them. He understands our thoughts, our ideas, our rationale. I can't help but think of how Jesus, he knew Peter would deny him, but he still loved him. And unlike everyone else, Jesus knows you and he loves you. And so another reason to trust God when life is uncertain, trust God because he is with you. Where shall I go from your spirit in verse 7? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Friends, God is near. God is with his people. These are some of the most beautiful, peaceful, life-giving words in all of Scripture right here. And they summarize the main message of what God is trying to convey to us today. And he says it over and over because he doesn't want us to doubt it for a minute. And so one example of this is actually found with the prophet Jeremiah's story. God is rebuking those who think their words or thoughts are hidden from God. And Jeremiah writes this, on behalf of God, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. God's near. I also think of the story of Jonah. Many of you know it very well. Jonah did everything he could to run from God. In fact, he boarded a ship and he went in the other direction. He volunteered to be thrown overboard into the sea. He was swallowed by a fish. He was spit out onto a beach. He tried really, really hard to disobey God. He tried to run from God, but he couldn't get away from God. God was with him. Do you know that, church? God is with you. You can't run from the presence of God. Time and time again in Scripture, God's telling us, he's pleading with us to remember that God, he does keep us near. He never leaves us. I think of when a small child goes to the doctor with his father. The child doesn't understand why he's there. He doesn't understand the needles. He doesn't understand the tests. But he reaches out for his father's hand. Why? Because he trusts the one who knows what he doesn't know. The Father isn't explaining every detail. He's simply present. And so Psalm 139 shows us a God who not only knows everything, but he actually stays with his children through every moment of their lives in this fallen world. And so as Jesus commissions his disciples and then ascends into heaven, if you remember his words, he said, "Behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This is the promise of Christ, God in human flesh, that he is to be with you always. He will never leave you. He won't forsake you. He will keep you near. He's present to care for you, to protect you, to provide for you. Look back at verses 11 and 12. "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." You see, God has this power in his presence to turn darkness into light. I imagine, as I read this psalm, that David may have been scared, may have been anxious, yet he knew that God had the power to protect him. Likewise, God's got the power to protect you, covering you with his wings. And so if you're scared, if you're anxious, if you're here today and you need to know that God is with you, let these words from Psalm 139 be truth for you today. The reminder of who God is and what he's doing in your life and why he's trustworthy. Trust God because he's with you. Another reason to trust God in uncertain times is this: trust God because he made you. God designed your life. Look at verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." Friends, God, the maker of all things, including you and me, he knits your days together with purpose. And then verses 14 and 15, they tell us that God's the one who formed our bodies. David praises God because he's fearfully and wonderfully made. Likewise, God formed us. He's the author of each and every one of us. Verses 16 through 18 reveal God's foreknowledge of our lives even before he ordained them to be. God saw you before you came as an unformed substance. God knew and pre-ordered all your days in advance. He wrote down all the details of our lives in his book. He fashioned and formed all our days, as scripture says, when as yet there was none of them. And so here's the thing: before your parents even held you, before you had a name declared, before anyone else knew your story, God had all of that written in his book. God knew every page. God knew and had ordained from the very beginning that he would take on human flesh and enter the world that he created. And friends, that's exactly what he did. The Creator entered his creation to show all of humanity that he knows us, he is with us, and he made us. And so trust God because he made you. Trust God because he made you. The fourth reason to trust God in the midst of uncertainty is trust God because he searches you. Trust God because he searches you. You see, God alone can judge your heart. No one else. And God is the true, better, and trustworthy judge. Look at our scripture, verses 19 through 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Guys, here we see David's prayer take an unexpected turn. David is filled with a holy discontent toward the unrighteousness of others in his world. And he's angered. He's angered by those who mock and belittle God. And all David wants is God's name to be exalted. And so David knows that God is fully capable of dealing with everyone and everything. David knows that God's the true, the better, the trustworthy judge who searches and knows the hearts of man. And so David's words here, they vibrate the strength and power of God's righteousness. Psalm 139 is an example of an imprecatory psalm because of the vivid call on God to judge the wicked who do great evil in the world. And so I want you to see this. David asked God to slay the wicked. But listen, he's not asking for personal revenge. It's really easy when someone hurts us, when someone wrongs us, when someone sins against us, or we look out into the world and we see all the calamity and unrighteousness, to want revenge. That's sometimes the natural response for our heart. We want revenge. Personal revenge. Don't you see how this has affected me? My family? We want revenge. But that doesn't seem to be what David is looking for here. David's actually asking the righteous king, God himself, to uphold his justice against evil. And we see this in the heart posture of humility that David expresses in verses 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." What if we prayed that prayer the next time our anger burns towards someone else or something else that's unrighteous in the world? What if that was the heart posture we had? Yeah, we don't want the evil. We don't want God to be dishonored. That's important. But God can handle this. What if we take the heart posture of humility that David is showing here? I want to pause here for just a moment on these verses because I don't want you to miss something that's happening here. This psalm has 24 verses, and we've looked at the first 22. And the first 22, David's been preaching to himself that God knows him, that God is with him, that God made him. God, you know me better than I know myself. And then we get to verses 23 and 24, and it's almost as if David is saying, if that's true, God, because I'm stepping out in faith to believe this is true, if it's true that you really do know me better than I know myself, search me, try me, see if there be any grievous way in me. David no longer fears God's searching of him. He's no longer afraid to show himself vulnerable before God. Why? Because he trusts God's heart. He's preached the truth, the word to himself. And he's trusting God's heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, this is a very good prayer to pray. Underline it, highlight it in your Bible, bookmark it in your Bible, memorize it. It's a very good prayer to pray. I've actually prayed this prayer often in my life, and I also know that it's a scary prayer to pray. That's because it's a vulnerable prayer. It's an honest prayer. And the fact is, we may, as human beings, with capacities and limits, and we don't know everything, but God knows. We may not always like what God reveals or how he answers this prayer. But here's the hope of the gospel, that Jesus trusted God the Father when everything seemed uncertain and was looking out of control. That's the hope of the gospel. Because I think it would be true for each and every one of us here today that we all have moments in our lives, sometimes more than not, when we know we should trust God, but we just don't. Well, Jesus went ahead of us to do that for us on our behalf. Because he willingly rode into Jerusalem to be crucified. He willingly handed himself over to be arrested. And at the cross, it looked like evil had won. Wicked men mocked him. Darkness covered the land. Yet the Father had already written that day in his book. And 3 days later, Christ's resurrection proved that God's sovereign purposes cannot fail. That's the truth. And so, it's actually in Christ's life, in his death, in his resurrection, and in his ascension, that we find the strength to trust God to search us. It's in our union with Jesus Christ that we find faith. Remember, faith is not seeing, it's trusting. It's in our union with Jesus Christ that we find faith to trust God with every part of our lives, even the hardest parts. Jesus even told his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Friends, we need to hold on to that. The same God who knows you completely, the same God who is with you always, the same God who formed you and made you, the same God who justly and graciously searches your heart. Friends, that's the same God who in the very person of Jesus Christ and in the work of Jesus Christ is worthy of your trust. Since God knows you better than you know yourself, friends, trust him with every part of your life. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper is a way that we do that. It's a meal of remembering. It's a meal of surrendering. It's a meal that we go to the table together as the body of Christ to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I need you. I can't do another breath without you. And I'm entrusting my full life to you." And so Jesus said his body was broken, and he poured out his blood so that we could have life in him. And that's what the Lord's Supper is about. And so if you've surrendered your life to Christ and trust him and following him as Lord, you're welcome to partake in the Lord's Supper together. I want to invite those serving to come forward and find a seat in the front row here. And as they do, we'll take a moment of silence to reflect upon and respond to the good news of what Jesus has accomplished for us. Jesus, we thank you for your good work. You have done what we couldn't do for ourselves. You are the proof and fulfillment of these words that David shared with us as he wrote. Thank you. Thank you that you are the same God that David trusted. You are the same God who raised Christ from the dead for us. Thank you for the life that we have in you, and that it's complete. Help us to trust you this morning as we remember you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to invite you to remain seated, and we'll pass the elements to you in just a moment, and then we'll take those together.